Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au. Open House around Australia with Lee Hatcher. And now, the human condition.
Yes, now to our final absorbing chat in our weekly human condition segment with Lynn Worsley. We've been dealing with all sorts of relationships and how they function. We've covered parents and children, last week couples, all the time looking at the neuroplasticity of the brain. Lynn, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us. Now, when we're talking about neuroplasticity, just remind us about what exactly we're dealing with.
Okay, what we're dealing with then is really looking at the relationships that develop in the brain, because what happens is that our brain forms a particular pathway, which actually starts to set up a set of strategies on how to deal with people.
Physically, this is the thing that's been fascinating me.
Yeah.
So now to what I think is a really significant relationship, and it covers so many dynamics and probably most of us, I reckon all of us. Some of them wonderful in terms of this relationship, others pretty horrid, teachers and students. Why are you tackling that?
Well, I know it's a little bit of a tangent, but there is an emerging set of research that explores relationships with teachers and students, but it's really open to more study.
Yes.
So there's not actual research that examines the quality of the interactions and how a student learns in the relationship, but I figured that we could go off on this tangent because last week we focused on the interactions that occur with the couple relationships and how the strategies we learn as babies to evoke a sense of protection from our parents is used in times of stress in our closest relationships. I actually think the strategies that we learn as babies also determines how we seek safe and protective relationships with our teachers.
It's really interesting because, as I said, it really covers all of us.
It does.
At some stage.
Look, there's been a lot written and there's a lot of studies about the factors that bring the most optimum learning environments for children. Now, some of the research by John Hattie in New Zealand reveals some really interesting information. Now, he did a meta-analysis, and a meta-analysis is where you basically get thousands and thousands of studies, and then you break the information down to ask the questions that you really want to know. And he asked what in-school factors help students to achieve. And the results that he found were that 5 to 10% was basically the school, which really, it doesn't account for a lot.
No.
5 to 10% is the peer group, which, you know, I would have thought it'd be more than that.
Yes.
5 to 10% is how much the home supports the learning environment. But 30% of the changes in students' outcome is the relationship with the teachers.
Yeah. As opposed to what the teacher's teaching, this is the relationship we're talking about.
Yeah. Yes.
So what is it? What did you find about what it was with the relationship with the teacher that mattered so much?
Now, not most of us can remember a teacher at school, either a good one or
totally,
a bad one.
Totally.
But when you start recalling this with other peers that you might have gone to school with, it's interesting to find out that some teachers who are regarded as dragons in the school, some students find them really good. And they had a great time with them and found them inspiring. So there's no real clear recipe for how a teacher needs to relate to their students. But when I start applying the research into the functional effects of our interactions with people, that is, it establishes this neuroplasticity in the brain, there's some really interesting patterns which are worth studying.
Yes, I'm sure.
And so I'll just take you step by step.
Okay.
First of all, a child needs to feel safe to learn. Secondly, a teacher needs to feel safe to teach. Okay? Now, the child comes to school with a set of strategies that they've already learned at home to evoke the best response from adults or to avoid or minimize their adults' over-the-top reactions.
Yes.
So that helps them to feel protected. The child also comes with a set of strategies that they use when there is potential crisis or signs of danger. So they'll either act out or to gather attention from others or to protect them, or they'll withdraw or they'll freeze so they can stay under the radar when there's some danger.
So all of this is predetermined. They come with this kind of pattern in their brain.
Yeah, and the teachers, they also have a set of strategies to help them to feel safe when they're in control of their students. And that helps them to feel safe and secure and protected.
Yes.
So the teacher also has a set of strategies that they use automatically when they're in crisis or there's signs of danger. They too can become defensive or withdraw from conflict depending on their past experiences.
Yeah.
So if the strategies that the teacher uses to control the class remind the child to go into their crisis mode, the child will either misbehave to gather attention or withdraw and freeze. Mm. If the strategy that the child uses to gather the teacher's protection makes the teacher go into her or his or her crisis mode, the teacher will either attack, defend, or withdraw.
Yes.
So we've got a potentially volatile situation with the teacher and the student.
Certainly.
And remember that there's sometimes 30 students in a class. The teacher and the students have an awful lot to manage.
Totally. And we've been advertising this chat on our Open House Community Facebook page, and I'm sure there are many teachers out there nodding, and not a few students too. So what happens to get this magical relationship with the teacher that gives our kids an edge for learning? How's it going to work best?
Well, I always look at the best case scenario first.
Yeah.
And so when we look at students who say they love their subjects the best, it's usually when you investigate it a bit further that they actually love the teacher who teaches that subject. And that's often because that teacher has a glimpse into the student's learning capacity and really believes in that student's ability. The student learns more in that situation.
Yes.
As a teacher myself, one of the best things about teaching is seeing the lights go on in your students' eyes as they get something.
Yeah.
Their brains switch somehow and they have this aha moment. It's absolutely gold.
Yes.
And it gives the teacher an enormous amount of pleasure and delight and that spurs them on to actually believe in the student more and prepare them for the next stage of learning.
Yeah.
So it's a dance, a beautiful dance.
Love it.
Alternatively, the teacher who enjoys what they teach and delights in the subject and shares their delight openly with the students, they evoke a response in the students that also see the subject as interesting and worthy of exploring. So it's like this very intense interactions that a baby has with their mum in the early days where there's shared joy in their eyes and delight in each other. And it's beautiful, a beautiful dance. It's the same with the student and the teacher. For the older child at school, the teacher and student share some intense learning situation when they both enjoy a subject or learning experience, which gives them a great connection.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Hattie found. I think that's the 30% that he's noticing. He's noticing this sort of intense relationship with the teacher.
So it is, or certainly can be, a positive thing. I think with many teachers, and for that matter, many students, they kind of go into that relationship a bit fearful, but there are some ways in which our brains want this to work.
Yeah.
So how can we help this, as I said before, this magical relationship occur with a teacher, do you think?
Well, there's a lot we can do, and there are other factors that teachers also have to deal with. And one of the difficulties I hear constantly is that teachers often feel attacked by parents. There's another dynamic going on there too.
And that's very common and very. Increasingly common these days.
And sometimes after they've had a full day of teaching 30 kids, and kindy kids, can you imagine how many times you've had to go to the toilet with them? Teachers are often met at the gate by hostile and angry parents who want their child to be treated as extra special.
Don't turn up at the gate.
Well, actually, it's how you turn up to the gate, I think.
Okay.
So if a teacher's feeling blamed and shamed and then basically the result is that they're not going to feel safe around that particular child.
With the scary parents.
So if you've got scary parents, you'll keep away from that child.
Yeah.
You'll withdraw. So as parents, there's a lot we can do to enhance the relationship our children have with their teachers. Firstly, it's really important to help the teacher to feel supported and to not talk about them in a derogatory way in front of your children. And children idealise their teachers and it makes them feel safe and ready to learn. So let them have them on the pedestal. They also need to see that the teacher is approachable and has a warm side. So if mum actually or dad feels excited about meeting the teacher and likes that, the child will see it.
It doesn't mean that we can't have challenging discussions with the teacher and raise issues.
No, this doesn't mean, but it needs to be in a warm environment.
Okay.
Secondly, work with the teacher. Send them encouragement letters or nice things that make them feel supported and safe to teach. Give them a hand when there needs to be things done in the classroom and a chance to be creative. Also be ready to take their lead in the classroom and follow through with helping your child to adapt to their style. If your child doesn't seem to like the teacher, there may be a mismatch, but that doesn't mean you pull them out. That experience alone is helpful for your child to learn how to set up new strategies. Remember the neuroplasticity in the brain.
I was going to say, these pathways, yes.
Yeah, so it's a new pathway that child needs to now learn how to deal with someone like that teacher.
Okay.
So if they're acting out of withdrawing, using the strategies that they've already learned, and it's not helpful in the classroom, help them to work out how to work with that teacher at the best. So they need to learn new pathways or new strategies.
A mismatch is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's a great learning opportunity.
Yes.
But give the teacher the benefit of the doubt. React to situations in a kind way, not a hostile way. That'll make the teacher feel unsafe if you're hostile. And they're less likely to engage with your child. Rather, make them feel special as well. And then they're really likely to treat your child much better.
Yes.
The studies are really clear that students that have involved parents in the school achieve better. That, I think, is because the teacher has those children on their radar. And if you're working with, if you're working and you basically can't get to the school or reading groups, you can still help by sending encouraging emails or notes or the occasional flowers for the classroom. It really makes a difference.
You can just picture, I'm not a teacher, but you can just picture the relentless kind of challenge that they face every day, and all of a sudden a nice letter pops in.
Yeah.
Like an old-fashioned letter.
Yes, and you think, oh, gee, that's a nice student.
The sun shines. Yeah.
So finally, if you have an attitude of learning yourself, that learning is fun and interesting and not a drag, that will also help your child to develop a sense of excitement about learning.
Yeah.
Don't do the work for your child, but be interested in what they're learning and how they're learning and with the teacher and the way the teacher's triggering new responses. Now, I have a story to finish up with.
Yeah, good. Let's be practical about this.
One time I was seeing this beautiful young lady in counselling, and she was just delightful. And I actually asked her about how she'd managed to cope with her really difficult circumstances. She hadn't had anybody to support her at home. She was getting through university. She was in third year university, and she was really doing it tough. Yet she'd managed to keep going and not fail. And when I asked her, what is it that gets you through? I'm just fascinated. I just think you've got it tough, and I just like to know what keeps you going. And she said, every year at Christmas time, I get a letter from my kindergarten teacher, and I would never, ever let her see me fail. So I think, wow.
That kind of makes me all choked up.
It makes me choked up every time I tell the story.
Yes.
And it was just, I know it was that teacher. So nurture the relationships that you have with your teacher, your child's teacher.
I've been saying to quite a few young people who come to me and say, you know, I want to get into journalism or I want to get into the media. With quite a few of very significant and very interesting people, maybe not famous people that we've spoken to on Open House over the last year, and so many times teachers and that powerful influence on people for good who go on to do amazing things, I say to them, oh, have you ever thought of being a teacher? Forget journalism or forget media. You know, if you really want to look back on a life that's really made a difference, it's just gold.
It is.
If you can do it.
And Jesus was the greatest teacher.
Yes, absolutely.
Taught in questions and parables and ways that we can just feel that relationship as well. So, great model.
He taught good and in good ways.
Yes.
It's been a wonderful and very mind-expanding, quite literally. I've set up so many new pathways in my mind through these conversations about neuroplasticity. We begin a new series of chats next week on emotions. Now, that's going to be interesting. Give us a sense of where we'll go.
Yes, we're going to look at the emotional regulation in the brain, how we actually transfer information from our thoughts and into our emotions, and looking at some key emotions like fear and anger and anxiety, and what happens in our brains when that happens.
And how to come out of it well.
Maybe how to regulate ourselves.
Yeah. Lynn Worsley, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.